This is the NedGroup Investments podcast, where we explore a variety of views and insights that investors care about.
Good morning. My name is Robin Johnson, Head of Investments at NedGroup Investments, and I'm joined today by Rob Promisil from Resolution Capital, the portfolio managers on our NedGroup Investments Global Property Fund. Rob, thanks very much for joining us today.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So can you just talk about the attractiveness of global REITs at the moment? What are you seeing in the markets around the world?
So global REITs are operating in a larger real estate market, of course. And within real estate, we think that REITs are really well placed. They have large operational scale. They have good flexible balance sheets because relative to commercial real estate in general, REITs have far less leverage. And the valuations are not demanding. We find that REITs are trading at lower earnings multiples and higher implied cap rates than their historic levels.
And what about the rental income that REITs are earning? Is there growth there still?
Well, we're looking for good, visible, durable cash flow streams. Over 93% of our portfolio is generated by recurring rental income, contractual rents. We think that there is good visibility on the rental streams that are underpinning these companies and their cash flows. Yes.
Are there some sectors that are better than others? Where's your portfolio focused?
Yeah, so we think that there's pretty constructive outlook for rental housing, residential, particularly in North America, where there's a bit of undersupply. We're seeing tenants stay in apartments and single-family rentals longer than they have before. The barriers to home ownership have gone up as mortgage rates have increased. As a result, we're seeing high occupancy levels and good rental growth out of rental housing.
What's the current level of rental growth at the moment? Because we had a big year last year.
Yeah, we have. So for multifamily, we're seeing sort of in the mid-single-digit rent growth, even a little bit higher in certain markets. And for single-family, it's the high single digits, almost double-digit rental growth.
Can you give me an example of one of the companies you hold in the residential sector?
Yeah, so Invitation Homes is the largest owner of single-family rental in the U.S., and we're seeing very strong rent growth. As a result, good, strong earnings growth from this company.
Another area that you invest in related to residential is senior housing.
Yeah.
Is there a company in that sector that you can give me an example?
So we find that senior housing is going through this really unique rebound period that was born out of the pandemic. We're invested in a company called Welltower, which is one of the largest owners and sometimes operators of senior housing in the U.S., also with exposure in Canada and the U.K. And during the pandemic, senior housing went through an unprecedented loss in occupancy as basically the operators had to close the front door and stop taking in new residents. And unfortunately, given the profile of the residents, they continued to have attrition. And they saw occupancy fall 1,300 basis points in just over a year through the spring of 2021. And we are now halfway through what is a multi-year, call it a four-year occupancy rebuild. In addition to seeing occupancies grow by 75 basis points a quarter, we're also seeing very strong rent growth. We're seeing rents grow in the 6 to 8% range for senior housing. As a result, we're seeing NOI growth for the senior housing component for Welltower that's growing at roughly 20% and is likely to continue growing at 20% through 2024. And as a result, Welltower as a company is going to see strong double-digit earnings growth.
On the flip side, there's some sectors that are doing well there, but on the flip side, office isn't in a great place, is it?
Yeah, office is going through a challenging period right now. There's a lot of uncertainty about the behavior patterns for tenant demand.
Right.
As we appear to be migrating away from work from home back to working in the office, we would expect there to be more incremental leasing demand from companies, tenants over time. But the fact is that utilization rates for office are stubbornly stuck at about 50% in a lot of the major markets. And this just creates a lot of uncertainty about tenant demand going forward. We've seen rents come under pressure as a result, as vacancies have gone up and are double digits in most of the markets, There's a few markets like Central Paris where they're, you know, inside the periphery where vacancies are quite low. But for the most part, vacancies are double digit, either through direct vacancy or augmented with sublease availabilities. As a result, landlords don't really have pricing power. They have to commit more CapEx to maintain their occupancy. And there's been a bit of a de-riching experience for office landlords. It's a small part of our investable universe and an even smaller part of our portfolio.
Yeah, and just to clarify, the difference between utilization and vacancy or occupancy is that utilization, the space is rented out, but the companies just aren't using it.
Yeah, it's how often are the tenants showing up?
Right, thank you. The portfolio does invest in some other very interesting areas, though. One of those being mobile home communities. That's a subsector of residential. Can you give me an idea of what that investment's about?
So we're investing in a company called Equity Lifestyle, which is the largest owner of manufactured housing communities in the U.S.
Not trailer parks?
Sometimes they're called trailer parks.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a label.
Right.
What we like about it is it's low CapEx, is visible, durable cash flows. So Equity Lifestyle owns over 350 mobile home manufactured housing communities in the U.S., mostly in warmer states that cater to retirees and have age-restricted tenants. The tenants will typically own their home, they'll own the vertical structure, and they'll lease the land that the home sits on from Equity Lifestyle. There'll be roads that have been put through it that are now deeded over to the towns. The utilities will service the individual lots, and Equity Lifestyle will collect the rent each month on the ground on the ground underneath somebody's home. So it's there's not a lot of amplitude in the cash flows, either up or down from this type of investment. It's just a very slow, steady value accreter.
Earlier, you talked about the rebound in seniors housing. We've also said, coming out of the pandemic, we've also seen a rebound in travel, business travel and tourism as well. And one of the holdings in the portfolio is a hotel business.
The Host.
How's the growth in hotel occupancy?
It's very strong. I mean, we've seen leisure travel come back, really roar back from the pandemic. You know, initially people thought there was revenge travel. And frankly, now we just believe that people's behaviors have changed.
Right.
And they're investing more in experiences rather than goods, which I think you guys have all heard of. But we're also seeing business travel come back. Group travel is almost nearly back to where it was pre-pandemic. And so we find that the hotel companies, you can see it if you've tried to rent a hotel, the rates are really quite strong. Occupancies are pretty full. They're not surging occupancies like they might have before the pandemic, but they're really quite healthy. We've also seen some of the hotel inventory in central cities come out of stock, which has helped.
Why is that?
Older
buildings.
Well, there are older buildings. You've seen some group travel went away. And so you've just seen stock that has been converted to other uses as well. But we've also seen new stock put onto the market. Typically, it's more limited service product. But Host is a really well-placed company. It has low leverage. It's really reoriented its portfolio away from large convention center-oriented hotels in major cities to more resort travel. And so we think that it's well-placed to capture these trends.
And it owns the buildings, but it's not the hotel chain. Which hotel chains does it work with?
Typically, the hotel REITs will own the properties. They'll have somebody else do third-party management. And then you'll have different flags that the hotels will be operated under and leased by. So whether it's one of the Marriott flavors or Hilton or Hyatt.
Right, right. And so they're good quality buildings in good locations, attracting people.
Yeah, they're great properties. You know, I think even you'd be happy staying in one of those.
No, thank you very much. All right, Rob, I'm going to leave it there. But last question from me: is now a good time to invest in global REITs?
Look, we think that commercial real estate as an asset class is going to go through some recalibration given what's going on the lending market, what's going on with values. We feel that REITs have more than discounted the pain that's going to be felt on the direct side at this point. REITs have strong operational scale. They have great balance sheets. They have managements that, for the most part, are proven. So we're pretty constructive on where REITs sit in a commercial real estate context.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for joining us. That was Robert Promisor. He's the portfolio manager on the Negroup Investments Global Property Fund. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ned Group Collective Investments is an authorised collective investments scheme manager in terms of the Collective Investments Schemes Control Act. Ned Group Investments does not provide advice on financial products and will only give you factual information. For further details on our funds and to view our terms and conditions, please visit netgroupinvestments.co.za. Ned Group Investments, see money differently.